Hello and welcome to today's readings of selections from the August-September issue of Audiophile magazine. On today's program, we'll have five questions for actor-narrator Santino Fontana and a review of his reading of Suzanne Collins' latest in the Hunger Games series, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. After that, we'll have reviews in young adult listening, including a review of Ghost Girl in the Corner, Shadow Shaper Cipher, Novella, Book 1, by Daniel Jose Older. It's an Earphones winner, read by Anika Noni Rose. Let's get right to it. Santino Fontana, Five Questions, by Candace Levy. In just a few years, Santino Fontana's work has already won several Audiophile Earphones Awards and the 2020 Audio Award for Best Thriller Suspense, The Institute. Even if you haven't yet listened to Santino as an audiobook narrator, I bet you're already familiar with his skills, because he's the voice behind Frozen's Prince Hans. Five audiobooks. Hidden Bodies is a standalone mystery that features Joe, a romantic psychopath. Santino's performance underscores the wit and suspense that offset the explicit action and language. In the essays collected in Things My Son Needs to Know About the World, Frederick Bachman talks to his young son about a number of topics that many of us can relate to, such as what it's like to be a parent, how to negotiate IKEA, and what to expect on the soccer field. He also expresses his hope that the next generation will make the world better, especially in terms of tolerance, empathy, and caring for others. Santino's easygoing delivery connects to the broad range of Bachman's reactions to parenthood. One of the most anticipated young adult audiobooks of the year was Suzanne Collins' Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Santino especially shines in the way he personifies Coriolanus' transformation. Who else but Stephen King could write about paranormal children who are kidnapped by an underground government organization that plans to use them for nefarious purposes? Santino expertly carries the listeners through the halls of the Institute. Siddhartha Mukherjee's The Laws of Medicine questions whether medicine can be considered a science. Santino's pacing and measured performance enhance our insight into the various aspects of modern medicine. Five questions. Before you hit that play button, I invite you to discover more about Santino Fontana, both as a voice performer and as an actor. Audiophile. What is the one thing you wish you'd known before you recorded your first audiobook? Santino Fontana. I wish everyone who listened to audiobooks knew this too. And it's not true in every case, but the producer, director, and engineer of an audiobook have a huge impact on how an audiobook turns out. Because reading an 18-hour book can be overwhelming for the narrator, and with the guidance and help of someone else listening, they're able to identify what was missed and what may be better. As an actor, I always think of myself as a generator of creative ideas. I want a collaborator to help choose which option is best. And there may be some back and forth, but when you're in the middle of a giant book, you don't have perspective like they do. And I'd say 9 times out of 10, I trust the people on the other side of the glass. Usually they're right. There are a couple of times I wish I'd gone with my gut, but the fact that it's not totally on you is something I wish I'd known before I'd started, and something I think listeners don't really know about. Audiophile. What are you doing when you're not working? Santino Fontana. I have an 8.5-month-old who's crawling all over the place. If I'm not working, I'm usually chasing her. Audiophile. What's your first reaction when someone asks you how they can become an audiobook narrator? Santino Fontana. I get asked occasionally how I got into voiceover stuff in general, and I tell them my experience, which I first recognize as lucky. As a theater actor in New York, My gig when I wasn't acting was to be a reader for auditions, which basically means you play all the other parts in a scene opposite the actor auditioning. That was a great way to learn, not only about auditioning, but about New York theater at that time, because I saw everything. Crazy auditions, amazing auditions, asshole directors, great directors, everything. And I got to play all these different parts in a scene. And then that would lead to reading stage directions in the readings of new plays, which I was thrilled to be asked to do just to get into the room. And like clockwork, people would come up to me and say, "So you must do a lot of voiceover work." And I would constantly tell them, no, I don't. How do I do that? I want to go in there. I was told it's such a small group of people who get to do it, and good luck, basically. Then I was introduced to my voiceover agent, Steve Archieri, who essentially put me through voiceover training to better understand it. I auditioned, and I'm not exaggerating here, probably 5 or 6 times a week for 3 years, and was never hired. At the end of those 3 years, I basically came to Stephen and said, "Look, I really appreciate how supportive you've been, but it's not looking like this is in the cards for me." And he said, "No, trust me. Once you book the first one, it'll change." And I think a week later, I booked my first voiceover gig, which led to commercials, promos, and finally audiobooks. It takes time and tons of at-bats and a willingness to just keep at it. Audiophile. When reading for pleasure, do you find yourself creating voices and thinking about pacing and emphasis? Santino Fontana. What is reading for pleasure? Please explain that to my 8-month-old. Audiophile. What kinds of things do you do to protect your voice in your downtime? Santino Fontana. I was doing an 8-shows-a-week Broadway show while I was recording the Institute, and I had to be super careful. Luckily, I was able to limit the recording time in the booth, and Christina, the producer-director, was incredibly understanding and helpful, making sure I wasn't going to hurt myself. Vocal use is all about preventing the snowball. Once something gets out of balance, it gets worse, unless you nip it in the bud and take care of it. Those are our 5 questions with narrator Santino Fontana, and here's a review of The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Narrator Santino Fontana enters the Hunger Games arena, capturing fans' attentions and hearts with his performance of this prequel to the popular trilogy. This action-packed audiobook reveals how the impoverished, sometimes sentimental teenager, Coriolanus Snow, morphed into the man who would become the merciless leader of Pan Am, overseeing the live reality events in which 24 teens are forced to battle it out until only one remains alive. Fontana's consistent characterizations and clear distinctions between dialogue, thoughts, and narrative text guide listeners through this multi-layered story of a socio-political maneuvering and friendship and betrayal set in a land of unrest. With spot-on pacing, Fontana builds suspense and maximizes the excitement, all the while impressively signaling Coriolanus's maturation and self-acceptance by subtly toughening the teen's voice. Candace Levy wrote that review of The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes by Suzanne Collins, read by Santino Fontana. It's available from Scholastic Audiobooks for 16.25 hours of unabridged listening, ages 14 and up. Okay, we will leave that for now and turn our attention to our reviews in young adult listening. And our first review today is an Earphones winner. As you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. First review in young adult listening today is Red Hood. It's written by Alana K. Arnold and it's an Earphones winner, read by January Lavoie. The second person point of view can be distancing, but January Lavoie creates such a visceral world for 16-year-old Bizou that the space between listeners and characters fades. In one dramatic evening, Bizou experiences the pleasures of sex, her first menstruation, memories of blood that ended her mother's life, and the terror of a stalking classmate who has taken the form of a wolf. The Little Red Riding Hood story becomes dark, the dark background of a contemporary tale of male toxicity and the celebration of feminine instincts. Lavoie's delivery makes the tension palpable as Bizou fights to save her own life and works to understand her loving grandmother's dark secrets and their connection to hunters of wolves. Lavoie amps up the intensity in a powerful story. Susie Wild wrote that review of Red Hood by Alana K. Arnold, an Earphones winner, read by January Lavoie. It's available from Harper Audio for 8.25 hours of unabridged listening, young adult. Just a reminder that you are listening to Audiophile Magazine's August-September issue. We are the magazine that want you to discover the world of audiobooks. Okay, back to our reviews in young adult fiction. We have All Boys Aren't Blue, a memoir manifesto by George M. Johnson, read by the author. And let me correct that. It is not young adult fiction. It is young adult listening. Journalist and activist George M. Johnson tells their story about growing up queer, black boy. The vivid memories Johnson revisits exhibit the dynamics of family, sexual discovery, and the sobering juxtaposition of navigating several identities. Johnson's easygoing pace and conversational language lend themselves to a deeper understanding of the queer experience, especially regarding gender identity, toxic masculinity, and marginalization. This memoir offers frank descriptions of bullying and explorations of societal expectations of black men that will leave listeners thinking long after the audiobook finishes. An inspiring, bittersweet story that encourages queer people and their allies to believe that they deserve to exist in a world that seeks to shut them out. Alex Ritchie wrote the review of All Boys Aren't Blue, a memoir manifesto written and read by George M. Johnson. It's available from Macmillan Audio for 5.25 hours unabridged, ages 14 and up. Next, we have Light in Hidden Places by Shannon Cameron. It's an Earphones winner, read by Beata Pozniak. Narrator Beata Pozniak's authentic accent carries listeners into this gripping true account of Stefania Fuzia Podgorska. Fuzia leaves her country home to live and work with the Diamants, a Jewish family in Poland. Pozniak portrays how Fuzia thrives with the loving family until Nazis arrive and the Diamant family is sent to the ghetto, and Fuzia's beloved Izio Diamant is transported to a concentration camp. As Pozniak contrasts the guard's coldness with Fuzia's horror and guilt, she develops a plan to rescue Izio. Pozniak increases the tension as this compelling heroine struggles and juggles cold, poverty, and terror with nurturing her younger sister, maintaining a job, and hiding 13 Jews in the attic of an apartment she has to share with Nazis. The author reads the afterword. Susie Wild wrote that review of Light in Hidden Places. It's written by Shannon Cameron. It's an Earphones winner, read by Beata Pozniak, and it's available from Scholastic Audio for 16.25 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is Ember Hawk, The Katrosi Revolution, Book 1 by Jamie Foley, read by Brenda Scott Laszlo. In a story examining the difficulties of meeting social expectations, expertly narrated by Brenda Scott Laszlo, three young adults must survive a battle of the gods. Laszlo's crisp and engaging delivery maintains the suspense as she switches among the points of view of three characters, a princess, a soldier, and a trapper. Laszlo depicts Kira's southern accent with charm as she maneuvers a drought-ridden ranch, works with magical beasts, and survives the forests in the company of her sworn enemy. Laszlo's portrayal illuminates Kira's intellect, bright mind for innovation. She also captures Rion's conflicted allegiances to his birthplace and to his tribe. That review was written by Jacqueline Ox. It was a review of Ember Hawk, The Catrosi Revolution, Book 1 by Jamie Foley, read by Brenda Scott Laszlo. And it's available from Fayette Press for 12 hours unabridged, ages 12 and up. Next we have They Went Left by Monica Hess, an Earphones winner, read by Caitlin Davies. Narrator Caitlin Davies reflects the terrible confusion of 18-year-old Zofia, who has recently been liberated from Gross Rosen concentration camp in Germany. She is haunted by memories of her younger brother Abek, who may be her only family member still alive. Davies' narration doesn't hold back on emotions as the story reveals Zofia's past hell, broken present, and future hopes. Dramatic music interludes add to the power of Zofia's attempts to remember what happened to her brother. At Fehrenwald, a displaced person camp, Davies reflects Zofia's awakening feelings, which are both positive and disturbing, amid the chaos of the world around her. Davies takes us on a powerful journey at a singular time. The author reads an afterword documenting her process, recommending books she discovered while researching the writing. Susie Wilde wrote that review of They Went Left by Monica Hess, an Earphones winner, read by Caitlin Davies. It's available from Hachette Audio for 9 hours unabridged, ages 14 and up. Next in Young Adult Listening, we have Ghost Girl in the Corner, Shadow Shaper Cipher, Novella 1. It's written by Daniel Jose Older, and it's an Earphones winner, read by Anika Noni Rose. When it comes to narration, this short audiobook packs a powerful punch. Fast-paced and intense, the story is taken to the next level by the talented Anika Noni Rose. After T takes over the community newspaper, a local girl disappears, and a ghost girl no one else can see appears. In a race against time, T sets out to save the missing girl and salvage her troubled relationships with her girlfriend Izzy. Rose's characterizations are complex and real, and everything in between. There is never any confusion about who is speaking, even in the scenes full of multifaceted characters. The audiobook is impressive, and Rose's narration makes it an especially worthwhile listen. Emily Picar wrote that review of Ghost Girl in the Corner, Shadow Shaper Cipher Novella, Book 1. It's Earphones winner from Anika Noni Rose, written by Daniel Jose Older. It's available from Dreamscape for 3 hours, unabridged, ages 14 and up. Next we have The Black Flamingo by Dean Atta, read by the author, and it's an Earphones winner. In his first audiobook, poet Dean Atta draws on his skill as a spoken word performer to deliver his novel in verse, which features an intimate, empowering portrayal of a black gay teen's coming of age. "I never wanted to take my difference too far," says Michael, who lives in London. He has an understanding family and best friend, but claiming his identity is challenging in a society in which he's othered for his blackness, his gender expression, and his sexuality. At university, however, Michael finds a sense of freedom through his poetry and his flamboyant, unabashed drag persona. add a soft voice and contemporary British accent, make his narration sound casual and conversational while still allowing the emotions and subtle rhythms of his poetry to shine. An outstanding and affirming debut. Rebecca Honeycutt wrote that review of The Black Flamingo by Dean Atta. It's an Earphones winner read by the author, and it's available from Harper Audio for 3.75 hours, unabridged, ages 14 and up. Next, we have More Than Maybe. It's by Aaron Hahn, and it's an Earphones winner read by Rachel L. Jacobs and P.J. Auckland. Narrators Rachel Jacobs and P.J. Auckland deliver a swoon-worthy performance of this YA novel. Engaging listeners right off the bat with a stellar British accent is Auckland as Luke, the son of a famous UK rock star. Luke is a masterful songwriter, yet he struggles with stage fright. Veda, currently working at a legendary bar and writing a music blog, is laser-focused on her dream, writing for Rolling Stone magazine. Jacobs, voicing Veda, proves accents are not an issue with a solid performance, navigating the characters. When the two are paired for a school project, sparks fly. With youthful intensity and relatable introspective, Jacobs and Auckland skillfully establish themselves as the endearing protagonists. Sharon Gamble wrote that review of More Than Maybe by Aaron Hahn. It's an Earphones winner read by Rachel L. Jacobs and P.J. Auckland. It's available from Macmillan Audio for 9.75 hours unabridged, and it doesn't tell us an age limit. Our next review is The Mermaid, the Witch, and the Sea. It's written by Maggie Tokuda Hall, and it's read by Kate Rudd. Narrator Kate Rudd creates unique voices for mysterious mermaids, powerful witches, and evil pirates in this fantasy adventure. Flora, a young woman forced to make terrible decisions to survive, works as a man aboard a pirate ship that sells unwitting passengers into slavery. When she falls for Evelyn, a passenger on her way to an arranged marriage, Flora finally fights back against the pirates. Rudd imbues her narration with a creepy menace when voicing the villains and brings the courage and doubts of both heroines to life. Her lilting voice is rich with the magic of stories and rhythm of the sea. This audiobook will please listeners looking for a queer love story that celebrates female power and the diversity of gender expression. Laura Sackton wrote that review of The Mermaid, the Witch, and the Sea. It's written by Maggie Tokuda Hall, read by Kate Rudd, and it's available from Brilliance Audio Candlewick for 9.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next in young adult listening, we have Love, Creekwood by Becky Albertalli, read by Michael Crouch, James Fooey, Kate Rudd, and Bonnie Turpin. This short and sweet novella on audio will satisfy fans of Simon versus the Homo Sapiens agenda and Leah on the offbeat. Michael Crouch, who narrated Simon to excellent effect, is joined by three actors who are new to the series. Told entirely through emails, the story follows high school friends Simon, Blue, Leah, and Abby in their first year of college. Leah and Abby are roommates. Simon is struggling with being at a different school from his boyfriend, Blue. Even with the thankless task of reciting multiple email addresses again and again, all four narrators bring their characters' personalities to life. Crouch is Simon's funny, anxious, by turns will tug at listeners' hearts, while James Fooey's Blue is supportive. Bonnie Turpin's Abby is enthusiastic, and Kate Rudd captures Leah's loving snark, a hopeful coda to a favorite series. Jen Dowell wrote that review of Love, Creekwood by Becky Albertalli, read by Michael Crouch, James Fooey, Kate Rudd, and Bonnie Turpin. It's available from Harper Audio for 2.75 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is Stolen Justice by Lawrence Goldstone, read by James Shippey. James Shippey narrates this history with deliberate phrasing aimed at young adults. After the Civil War ratification of the 14th and 15th Amendments was intended to guarantee civil rights to formerly enslaved people, it quickly became apparent that many states were systematically dismantling these rights, ironically using the justice system to erode the Reconstruction era amendments. Shippey's subtle pauses and use of emphasis convey anger and disbelief over the litany of segregationist legislation and the twisted judicial renderings that allowed it and convey the determination of those striving against these efforts to thwart racial equality, particularly regarding voting rights. The epilogue is a summation of this ongoing struggle, and Shippey delivers it with fervor. If this audiobook doesn't offend your sense of justice, you're not listening hard enough. Lisa Taylor wrote that review of Stolen Justice. It's written by Lawrence Goldstone, read by James Shippey, and it's available from Scholastic Audiobooks for 5.25 hours of unabridged listening, ages 14 and up. That's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we have an interview with author-narrator Louis Theroux about his audiobook memoir, Gotta Get Through This, My Life in Strange Times in Television. We'll follow that with reviews in contemporary culture and a few reviews in poetry, drama, and the classics, including a review of the classic The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. It's an Earphones winner, read by Kate Redding and Michael Kramer. So until next time, thanks for listening.